If you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We are thankful to be here this morning. Glad to see this good number. We have some outside, and we've got a good crowd here, at least on the properties, and we're glad that we could come be here together. And I need your prayer. I thought about Brother Jody saying he was nervous. I tell you what, the message that I have on my heart this morning has me trembling just a little bit. And that's always scary and exciting at the same time. Because I know that this is the Lord's message and this is what He wants preached. It's a very unpopular thought. What I want to deal with this morning is the thought of death. And I remember back whenever I was a child and how maybe the pastor would get up and he might announce he was going to preach on death, or maybe just in the message you understood that's the direction we were headed. And as he would talk about death as a young child, that was no more, it didn't even register on my radar, death. I thought, man, I'm young. I have my whole life out ahead of me. And so when death was mentioned, I looked for the old people. And I thought, well, you know, maybe they have 10 years left, or they have 15 years left, or, you know, maybe less than that. And so death was always an old person thing to me. But you know, now I'm kind of, I guess, middle-aged, getting old. And I look at it different, and life has taught me that. Life has taught me that it's not just about the old people. You know, Sabrina and I have three children, and we've watched them grow up. We've also, there's been three times where she was with child. We heard a heartbeat and then went back later on and there was no heartbeat. And that was a very hard thing, and a lot of things like that, you know, you feel like almost you go through alone in silence. You grieve in silence over something like that. And yet, at the same time, there's that lesson that death is certain. It's certain, and it's no respecter of persons that death comes for us all. And, you know, even in something that I say you suffer in silence, there's still those questions. Why? You know, why if I'm never going to see those children, why did we have them in the first place? And so we dealt with those type of questions. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't always understand why God does what He does, but God has a plan. He also has an eternity that's out there that's got all kind of things for us to look forward to. And so there's some parts of that I look forward to. Even though I have questions and don't understand it all, I still look forward to eternity. I can say that this morning because I know I'm saved. And even though, you know, one might not come to me, I'm going to go to them. And so that's very comforting to know that this is not the end. When you say death, the reason it's so unpopular is we look at death and we say, it's so final. I mean, it's goodbye. I'm never going to talk to them again. I'm never going to see them again. But that's not the case. For us that are God's children, that's just not the case. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. A very simple verse, but I want to deal with this thought of death this morning. In particular, there's this deception that men buy into that somehow we can cheat death. In our thinking, we think about death and we say, well, it's way out there. Or maybe we feel like that we're strong. I'm strong and I'm healthy and I don't have to worry about death right now. And so there's this idea I can cheat death somehow. Because I'm strong, I can press through death. Because I am smart, I can outthink death. Because I make proper preparations, I don't have to worry about death like someone that lives carelessly. And so we have this mindset many a times. You know, one of the healthiest men on the planet, at least it would seem, had a heart attack at age 51 years old while working out at the gym. That is just, when you hear that, how could a man have a heart attack working out at the gym? How could somebody that healthy have a heart attack? And yet it happens, don't it? Last year, there's a 30-year-old woman, she choked to death on a marshmallow in Florida. You know, how do you prepare for that? I mean, how can you prevent that from happening? Well, I just won't eat marshmallows. Well, you might choke on a peanut. I mean, there's some things. We cannot will ourselves past death. And yet a lot of times we think that we can, or at least we take that mindset that somehow we can cheat death. Somehow I can push past it. You know, how many times you pull up at the red light and somebody's texting on the phone? Every day of your life, if you pay attention, you look around. So it might be you. You might be the one texting on the phone or Facebooking or looking on the phone and driving down the road. I can't tell you how many times I come up and somebody's swerving in my lane and I come around them and they're on the phone. I have actually seen some on Facebook. You see that blue screen. You know that's Facebook, blue screen. And you said that's what they're doing. All right, but look at me. I'm looking at them and not watching the road. I'm looking at their Facebook. And so, how dangerous is that? You know, 6,000 people a year die from text messaging going down the road. That's what's reported. That's not counting the ones that they probably didn't even mention. But that's just the way it is. I thought about just some unusual deaths that I saw as I was studying. Is there's almost 3,000 people get killed by hippos every year. We don't have to worry about that, I don't guess. But you know, there's other things that we probably would have to. 450 people a year die falling out of the bed. I didn't know that. No, that's unreal. 450 people fall out of their bed and die. So you thought you were safe. You thought, well, I just will myself on and I plan on dying of old age. Well, we might. We might not. I mean, you think about dogs, ants kill dozens of people every year. Better beware of those ants. The Lord said, consider the ant thou slayest. You might better consider him in more ways than one. There's dozens of people die of ant, of just being bit by ants every year. Even this is one, and I'm going to move on. I don't normally do statistics, but 13 people a year die of vending machines. Don't ask me. I guess they're shaking them too hard, and they fall over. But you got to be real careful about your thinking, because many times, well, I'm just going to live at least a few more years. I'm going to press on and I'm going to die of old age. I plan on at least being 90 years old or 100 years old when I die. And we take that mindset and yes, we have to live. But you know, there's many people that they worry more about a doctor's visit than they do about the texter going down the road. We do not have the power to retain the spirit. We cannot will ourselves to live. And yet we make statements like that all the time. You let somebody get sick in the hospital and you know, they're going through something very serious and we'll say, well, they're strong. They're strong. They'll pull through. They're good and strong. Again, Scripture says we don't have that to rely on. You don't have your strength to rely on. You do not have the power over the spirit to retain the spirit. You don't have the power in the day of death. Death is certain. And even though, oh, I don't like thinking about death, I would rather just be blindly going into it. And look, in many ways we are, because we don't know when our appointment with death will come. But what we can do is prepare for death when it occurs. Be prepared for it. It is very foolish to just look at death and say, I'm just not going to think about it. When it happens, it happens. I'm going to live my life. Many people are trying to get the most out of this life, and so every preparation is about today. It's about living today. It's about living in this world. It's about what I'm going to do for my future as far as retirement. What I'm going to do as far as saving up and having a nice nest egg. Everything that people do many times is about this life. You know, I thought about the rich man that looked out at his crop that fared sumptuously. And he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my old barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to kick back, relax, and I'm going to take my ease for many years. No doubt he's looking at many years just to live life, just kind of laid up doing what he wants to do. Bob said, thou fool. How many of us are living foolish? We're more worried about bigger barns and we're forgetting souls. You know, it's one thing to forget the souls of others. What about your own soul? Are you lost this morning? If you're lost, think about that. You are living for the here and now. You're going through the motions of life. You're living for number one. And yet, if death came right now, you'd be lost. You'd be burning in hell. That's a sad thought. That's the saddest of all thoughts. Don't get any worse than that. But many people, that's what they're doing. They're gaining the world, and yet to lose your own soul, what have you accomplished? If you gain everything, if you become president, if you become dictator of the world, and have everything at your disposal, but you lose your own soul, what have you accomplished? There's this live until I die mentality. And boy, it is so popular in our day and time. Just get the most you can get out of this life. What about the next life? It's sad to think that there's many people, even today, I believe, that sit on church pews that they don't even believe in the next life. It's just all we can get out of this. There's atheists nowadays sitting on church pews. There's agnostics, maybe, maybe not, that sit on church pews and they hear messages like this and they say, I'm just going to get the most I can get out of this life. I don't know about the next life. God left us His Word. We can know about it. Well, if you're willing to just trust the Word of God, you can know. But too many today don't believe in just trusting the Word of God. Better to live until I die. All right, so this morning, to live understanding death is certain. That's the way we should live. We shouldn't look at it and say, I'm not going to think about it. We should understand it's coming. Death is certain. It's a fact. This morning, I want us to consider our life's assurance. You that are saved, thank the Lord. It's not because you're something good. It's not because I am. It's not because I'm a real good person or I was just in the right place at the right time or that I'm wiser or that I'm, you know, lived a better life than somebody else. I'm saved because of Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's the only reason I'm saved. That He died for a wretch like me. And He fixed it where all I've got to do is turn in my heart to repent, to turn to Him and have faith in Jesus. You're saved. He did save me. He will save you. This morning I want you to consider your soul. Do you have eternal life that is going to be more valuable than all the treasures of this world. I know I've said this many times, but the things that men work so hard for today in this world, God paved heaven with. You're going to walk on gold in heaven. People will give anything for gold here. Anything of value, people strive for it. The Bible says if you covet after silver, you will never be satisfied with silver. There will always be that lust to have more and to have more. You can have the biggest house in your community and there will still be that lust to have more, to make it prettier, to make, to have bigger things and better things. You can have the nicest vehicle in the parking lot and there'll still be that lust to want to have more and to do better and to have more toys to go along with it, but to have Jesus. One day that's what's going to matter. What did I do with Jesus? It matters now. One day it's going to matter above all other things to us. Have you made preparation this morning for your long home? That's the question. You have no power in the day of death. You cannot will yourself a few extra days. Where the tree falls, that's where it will lie. So when you die, will you be going to heaven or hell? Eternal life or eternal damnation? Which direction are you going? Where are you headed when you die? Look at Luke chapter 16. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Hell is not just the grave. The entire religions teach hell is simply the grave. Here, where this man lifted up his eyes, he was in torments. And said Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, that lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Notice he understood what it took to be saved. They will repent. He didn't repent. He didn't turn to the Lord, but he said, they will. They will. If somebody was sent from the dead, this is the answer, verse 31. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, the Bible, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So if they won't hear the word of God, then they're not going to hear, even if somebody come back from the dead. Jesus proved that. Jesus came back from the dead, and men would rather try to cover it up than to just believe that he is the Son of God. And so, notice the contrast here. A rich man and a beggar. If we were walking down the street and we come to the gate of this rich man's house and we saw Lazarus laying there, begging at the gate, dogs licking his sores, we'd shake our head at him. And might look up at the house on the hill and think about that rich man and think, my goodness, God has blessed that man. Who was the blessed man and who was not? A lot of things we look at as blessing, may not necessarily be. Who was blessed in the end? Lazarus was the one comforted and will be throughout eternity. The rich man, even though he lived like most of us want to live in this day and time, and I say that with a very humble heart, it shouldn't be that we always covetous and wanting other things, but a lot of times that's how we live our life. I want the next thing. I want the best and latest and greatest things, but it did this man no good because he died. Death is certain for the beggar, and it is certain for the rich man. It is certain for those that fare sumptuously every day of their life and those that are unable to seek medical treatment. This man couldn't even go to the doctor. Laid there at the gate and nobody come by and took him to a doctor. Dogs came and licked his sores. We look at that and say, that man made shipwreck in his life somewhere. Maybe so. But somewhere along the way, he looked at his soul and he trusted the Lord. So he fared much more sumptuously than the rich man did in the end. At death, it's not important to be in a nice home. It's not important to be under the best medical treatment. I know we say, well, I want to seek good medical help. And I'm not trying to discourage you from that. I believe we should. In its proper place, understanding that it's God that gives those doctors wisdom. It's God that guides their hands. Doctors make mistakes. Doctors prescribe wrong medication. Doctors, their hands slip every now and then. And so whenever I go to the doctor, I'm praying for that doctor. God, please help this man. Help this woman, who, whatever the case may be, help them. Because they're human just like I am. But at death, it really does not matter. You can be laying on the street, dogs licking your sores. You still die. You can be in a fine home. The best doctors gathered around you. And when death comes, you still die. So what will matter is what you did with Jesus. The reason it matters is because one man went to heaven, to Abraham's bosom, and one man lifted his eyes in hell. That's the difference. That's the contrast I want you to see this morning, because whenever you think about death, there's two places. We go after death. I either go to heaven or I go to hell. There's no in-between spot. No purgatory. There's no praying you out. You are where you are. One man believed and he went to glory. One man focused on living until he died and he lifted his eyes in hell. If you're unsaved, death is sure and hell is real. The gospel is the power of God to everyone that believeth. If you are willing to believe the record of Jesus, that God gave His Son, born of a virgin, He came into this world, God blessed Him, He grew up in favor with God and with man. At 12 years old, He astonished teachers at the knowledge He had, even of spiritual matters. He lived a perfect life. In every way, He pleased the Father. He hung on Calvary. His blood was shed. He looked down upon man. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. No doubt thinking of me. At the same time, He was thinking of them soldiers down there. He paid my sin debt. He paid your sin debt. He paid the sin debt of all the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He rose the third day. He is Lord. He is our Savior. He's our risen Savior. And this morning, if you would believe that record and accept that as your payment for sin, God, for Jesus' sake, will save you. Death is a fact. It's not something that you can control. You have an appointment with death. It's appointed unto man once to die. The second death's not appointed for you, but you can die that second death. If you die without Christ, you will. When it takes place, heaven or hell, there's eternal life, eternal damnation. This rich man may have provided more comfort for himself, but he could not buy one extra day. You may be able to because of how you've lived, because of how you've fared, because of the money you've made. You may be able to make yourself more comfortable. You may be able to seek good medical help. But in the end, death comes for us all. Today is the day of salvation. God loves you and gave His Son. He made salvation simple enough that a person turn to Jesus, put their faith in Him, He'll save them. Even a child, as God would convict their heart and their eyes are open and they see that they're lost, they can turn and trust Jesus. They don't have to be have a doctorate degree. They don't have to, be some wise person or some rich person. All they have to do is believe. Believe in Christ. This morning, if you're lost, that's what you need to do. Trust Jesus and be saved. We'll ask for a verse of a song.